Okay, we're starting here with the Mishnah on top of Pei Dalet Amal Aleph. Mishnah is Kol Anechal Shor Hagadol Yachel Bigdi Arach. Anything that's eaten in a large ox, meaning a fully grown animal where all the soft parts are already hardened, then Yachel Bigdi Arach. In the young goat that is brought, you can still eat those parts. So we know that the Korban HaPesach comes from an animal that's Ben Shana. It's from the tzon. It's either from a keves or from a gdi. So you're talking about young animals. In the younger animals, there are parts that are softer, that harden as they get older. So what the Mishnah lays out for us is whatever is eaten in the shor hagadol, then you can eat that bigdi arach. But if there are parts of the gdi that are soft when it's young, then those parts cannot be eaten, or they're not considered to be basar, because in the shor hagadol already they would be hardened items. So here are, the Gemara will discuss what exactly the examples here are at the end of the Mishnah, how they reference back to the first statement of the Mishnah. Roshei Ketafayim is the cartilaginous tops of the forelegs, which are the shoulders of the animal at the joint there. And his chusim are the cartilage or gristles. They are the ear, the cartilage in the ear, the helix, the small ribs that are at the end of the spine, as well as the gristly portion of the breasts, which so all of those have a softer cartilage in them, which can be eaten. So Rabbi says, our Mishnah says, Nan kol anechal b'shor gadol yechal b'gdi arach. So our Mishnah sounds like anything you would eat in the large animal, you can eat in the younger or small animal. She'enu echal lo, sounds like if it wasn't eaten in the shor gadol, you can't eat it. Ema seifa. And then we have examples in the Sefer, which say, Roshei Kenafayim Vaschusim. Vahani lo mitachle b'shor gadol. These items are not eaten in a shor gadol. So then, what exactly are the examples that we are bringing in the Mishnah? These are examples, supposedly, of items that you could eat, but it's not, because these are items that, in a shor gadol, would be too hard. Ela tanayehi. Our Mishnah is actually comprised of two tanayim. Vehechiktani. Vahachiktani. And this is what it means. Ko anechal b'shor gadol yachal b'gdi arach. So the statement, or the generic statement in the beginning of the Mishnah is one ta'ana, which says anything you can eat in the shor hagadol can be eaten in the young goat, in the kid. If it's not eaten in the shor hagadol, not. And here's the other ta'ana, who says no, that these items can be eaten in the gdi, arach, even though they're not eaten in the shor hagadol. So that's the way that Rabbo reconciles these pieces of the Mishnah. Rav Amar, Rabbi says, Mahin Kitani. Our Mishnah is giving examples of the items that can be eaten in the Shor Gadol, therefore they're eaten by Gdi Arach. Kol Hanechal B'Shor Gadol B'Shlaka. Anything that's eaten by Shor Gadol through cooking, as Rashi explains over here, is Shlika Bishul Yeter. That's a heavy-duty cooking, meaning you boiled it for a long period of time. Yachel b'gdi arach b'tzli. Then that can be eaten when you roast a young kid. Umahin. What are examples of items that, if you cook them well in a shor hagadol, then would be soft items in a gdi arach? Roshei kenafayim vaskusim. That's what the end of the Mishnah gives you examples of the items that would be permitted to be eaten in the gdi arach. Tanya kavotu d'rova. We have a braita that supports Rava's position. Konechal b'shor hagadol b'shlaka or b'shlika. Yeachel b'gdi arach b'tzli. Umahin, roshei kenafayim v'schusim. Gidim harakim nidonim kibasar. And the soft gidim have a din like basar. So here we have the examples of items in the Mishnah that are items that can be eaten with the Korban HaPesach, depending on the Rishonim, whether that means these are items that qualify to be counted towards the basar of the Korban HaPesach. So these items, you could be nimne on them. If people ate them, would be yotze with the Korban HaPesach. Or, for some of the other Rishonim, it's giving examples of items that would be considered notar if they were not consumed. If they're left over, it'd be notar that has to be taken care of. So that's the first part of the Gemara. Rabbo and Rava are trying to explain our Mishnah. Now, Itmar. Gidin shesofan lakshot. Gidin, sinews that in the end are going to harden. They're soft now, but they will harden in the end. Rashi claims that this is speaking about the gidei atzavar. It's talking about the sinews of the neck that are soft up front and then will harden later on. Tosafot takes issue with that and says that we just had in the Gemara yesterday sounds like the Gidei Tzavar, everybody agrees, are items that don't count as basar. Nobody seemed to disagree with that. So rather, he says that the Gidim that we're speaking about here in this member that's about the Machloket Rabbi Yochanan Mish Lakish, and he says are the Gidei Shidra, the Gidim Arakim, the Ketani Bebraita, Ari Begidei Basar. So the Braita that said before, the soft Gidim, that's regular Gidim sinews that are found in the flesh. The Gidim here that are Sofana Akshot, that are going to get hard in the end, those are the Gidim that run by the spine or through the spinal cord. And those Gidim are ones that are being spoken about here. So as opposed to Rashi, who thinks this time at Gidei Tzavar, Tosafot thinks that the Gidim here are the Gidei Hashidra. So with regards to these Gidim, they're soft in the beginning, and then they're hardened over time. How do I look at them? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Nimnin, Alehem BePesach. You can make them as a part of the Pesach, they're part of the Basar. If a person joins into the Karban of Pesach, and that's all that's available to him, he's Yotzei, that's good. Shlakish Amar, Inim Nim Alehem BePesach. You can't count this towards the meat or the Basar of the Pesach. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Nimnin Alehem, but they're Hashkaz Linen. We go after what's here and now. Here and now, they're edible. Here and now, they have a din of Basar, so therefore you can utilize them in that way. Shlakish Amar, Inim Nim Batar Basofaz Linen. Go after what the eventuality of these items will be, which is as the animal grows, they will harden. And since in the end they will harden, they don't qualify as basar. Eitavei Rosh Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Rosh Lakish challenged Rabbi Yochanan. Akol haneachal b'shor agadol, our Mishnah, yeachal b'gdiarach. Mahin, what are examples of those items? Moshe k'nafayim v'schusim. So it sounds like from our Mishnah, hani in, av gidin shesuvan nakshot, oh, that the gidin shesuvan nakshot was not brought as an example in our Mishnah of items that are soft in the gdiarach, that get harder later on, that you're allowed to eat. So if that's the case, it sounds like the Mishnah doesn't believe that these items can be utilized like the Roshei Knafayim Schusim. Amarlei, Tana Hani, V'Oden Hanach. The Tana here gave examples. These aren't the exclusive examples. These are just types of the items and showing you what these meant by the generic statement in the Mishnah or the Kalal in the Mishnah. And therefore, these are examples and other items would count as well. So, Hani Mai Taimo, what's the reason behind these? Damitachle b'shor gadol b'shlika. Because in the large shore, they're eating when you cook them well. Hanachnami, the gidim as well, mitachle b'shor gadol b'shlika or shlaka. In the shor gadol, you could eat these sinews if you cook them up. So just like the Roshei Knafayim Neschusim in the Mishnah can be eaten ayidei shlika, so too, the same din would be applicable when it comes to the sinews. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan answers the question. Now, Amarlei Rabbi Yirmiyahu the Rabbi Avin, he azlat the kamei to Rabbi Abo. When you go and visit Rabbi Abo, Ramile, ask him a stira within the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Mi amar Rabbi Yochanan gidin shesuvan akshot nimnin alem bepesach. Rabbi Yochanan really say here that we go butter hashto, and therefore these sinews that in the end will harden, you can eat them as part of the carbon of Pesach. Alma, from that you would conclude, but the hashta is lean, and we go after the here and now. V'ha b'amine Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't Reish Lakish challenge Rabbi Yochanan about this Mishnah in Chulin, where it says, or harosh shalegel harach, that the soft part of the head of a calf, ma'ush itma, does it accept tuma? Ramelo ein mitameh, says doesn't get tuma. Alma, and that you would conclude, butar besofas linan. That means that we go after the end game. Over here, the head, or the area of the head of the calf is now soft. So right now it's soft. It's gonna harden in the end. So what's the din? Yochanan says, no tumat ochlim. No tuma over here. Well, why not tumat ochlim? That means he's not going after butar hashto, he's going after butar besof, he's going after what the eventuality of this item will be. So you have a stira within Rabbi Yochanan. Over here in our Gemara, he's saying that it is butar hashto, you go after the here and now. And in the Gemara in Chulin, it sounds like he's going after the batar basof. He says that the soft parts of the head, the soft head of the calf, doesn't qualify as food because eventually it's going to get hard. So that means that he's going after batar basof. So then he did that. He went to Rabbi Yubo and he posed the question. Amalei, the Ramalucha, the one who sent you to ask this question, halochash the kimche. He didn't really check his information or his data. His question is premised on something that is mistaken here. His understanding of Rabbi Yochanan is incorrect. Hahadar be Rabbi Yochanan negabe deresh lakish. Because Rabbi Yochanan retracted his position, he rescinded his position, and he does hold like Resh Lakish. Now, in terms of his retraction, it's an argumar here. In our gemara here, where he goes, Batar Hashta, he changed his mind now and says it's Batar Sof. So that gemara in Chulin, that's Rabbi Yochanan Nishi today. Over here, we thought it was Batar Hashta. Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind and didn't keep that position. How do I know that? Because Amalei. Because Rabbi Yochanan says back to Resh Lakish, after he gives him that answer, Al Takniteni, don't give me a hard dime. Don't provoke me. Shalashon Yachid Ani Shone Uta. Because this Mishnah that we're speaking about, I think that that is a dat yachid. It's an individual, but the Chachamim disagree. The Mishnah he's referencing is the Mishnah in Chulin, which discusses Elu Sherutehim Kibisaram. These are animals in which the skin has the din of basar, or parts of the animals where the skin has the din of basar. The skin in those areas is so soft that it gets a din like basar. And one of the examples there is Or Harosh Shel Egel Arach, the skin of a young calf on his head. The skin of the calf on his head is soft. And we just asked Rabbi Yochanan, what's the story with that? And Rabbi Yochanan says, it's not mitameh. Yet we have a Mishnah that explicitly says that it has a din like basar, which means that it would get tumat ochlim. So why does Rabbi Yochanan suggest otherwise? So that was Reish Lakish's challenge to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's response to him is, don't bother me with that Mishnah. That Mishnah that you're quoting is a dat yachid. That's what he says here. Al takni teni. Don't give me a hard time with it. Shon yachid ani shonelta. I learned that Mishnah as being a dat yachid. And since it's a dat yachid, we don't hold of it. The Chachamim disagree. That's one person's opinion. And it's not a Mishnah that we're going to subscribe to. And therefore, it's not a question on me. But based on that, you see that Rabbi Yochanan's position was originally that we go Batar Hashto, and based on that Mishnah, he would have said Batar Hashto, but then he says, no. That Mishnah is a Dat Yachid, so I don't hold like that. And therefore, my position is Batar Basofas Linen. And he must have retracted what he said over here, that it's Batar Hashto towards Rabbi Yochanan. So that's what Rabbi Bo is saying. The question's not a question anymore, because Rabbi Yochanan's consistent now in his opinion. He says Batar Basof, just like there in Chulin says Batar Sof. Also over here, he would say Batar Basofas Linen. And he would hold like Resh Lakish, not like the suggested before that he was Batar Hashta Azrinan.
Tosfot asks, interestingly enough over here, that why isn't Resh Lakish faced with a problem? Because in the Braita that we brought, it says that what's eaten b'shlika by a Shor Gadol can be consumed in a Gedi. So it shows that we do go Batar Hashta when it comes to the Gedi. So Tosfot gives an interesting answer in the end that distinguishes between the Rosh Eknafayim Nishusim versus the Gedim. And says, Rashba Mefresh Taima, the Resh Lakish, the Gidim, the Domo, the Roshik, Nafayim, Eschusim. Gidim and the items mentioned in our Mishnah are different. Gididin, Sovan, Lakshot, Begdi Atzmal. When it comes to Gidim, the sinews, they will harden in the goat itself. While it's young, they are soft. As it gets older, they will harden. Ava Roshik, Nafayim, Eschusim, Ain Sovan, Lakshot, Begdi, the Oldam. But the items that are mentioned in our Mishnah will never get hard inside of a goat. They're hard inside of a Shor HaGadol, but they're not hard, or they never will get hard inside of a Gedi. Elo b'shor gadol dafko, only in a shor gadol. So therefore he differentiates between those two items. And in differentiating between those items, he'll say that Batar Hashto can apply to items that will always remain soft within that animal, because those are basar. They really are basar. Whereas items that are sofan lakshot, there will go Batar Sofan and not Batar Hashto. In addition, he does note that the Mishnah in Chulin is also a problem for Resh Lakish, because over there it says by the Rosh, there we go, Batar Hashto, and Resh Lakish holds Batar Basofas Linan. So again here, Tosafo draws a distinction and says that when it comes to Ba'or Rosh Legla Rach, Ishlo Tam Basar Harbe Migidim, that the Rosh is a lot more Basar than the Gidim. So again, Gidim being more unique, that they're not as much Basar, they're going to harden in the end, whereas the Egel Harach, or the Rosh of the Egel Harach, is something that is classified as basar, or that's a gzerat hakatuv of achluat basar velo gidin. That you can eat basar and not gidin, and gidin are excluded from gzerat hakatuv, and that's why you go batar sofan and not batar hashto.
Okay, next Mishnah. Shover et etzem bepesach hatohor. You break a bone in a tahor pesach, harizelu ke'arbaim. Then you get malkot for violating the lav of etzim lo tishberu bo, that you're not allowed to break a bone inside of the korban of Pesach. Aval amotir betahor, if you leave over from a kosher korban haPesach, you leave it over afterwards and it becomes notar. Meshuver b'tamei, if you break the bones of a tamei korban haPesach, ain't a loket an arbaim. You don't get malkot for that. By notar, it's a machloket as to why you don't get malkot. Is it you don't get malkot because it's a lav hanitak de'asei? It's a lav, a lota say, but nitak da say, it has a rectification that's written by it, which is, lota tiru mimenu ad boker, vanota mimenu ad boker, beish tisrofu. So that tells you the rectification is next to it. So one of two possibilities, either because it's not domeh to the lav of chasima, and therefore that is the paradigmatic type of lav, and since, because that is juxtaposed to the parsha of Malkot in Sefer Devarim, so lo tachsom shor b'disho becomes the paradigm, and this is doesn't fit that paradigm, because here it has an assay afterwards to rectify, which isn't true by lo tachsom shor b'disho. Or the other possibility is that because it has an assay, it tells you what the result of notar is. The result of notar is not malkot. The result is you must burn it. So it already gives you the rectification, and therefore there's no malkot. That's one possibility as to why you don't get malkot by notar. The other possibility is that it's a lav she'en bo maaseh. There's no action over here. Again, Lotasom Shorbidisho is an active type of lav where you get makot. Here it's a passive lav because you simply have to do nothing and then it goes past the expiry time. And that's why you will not get makot from it. So makoket tanaim as to why we don't get makot by notar, whether it's lav shein bo maaseh or lav hanitak de'aseh. With regards to breaking a bone in a tamei, korban haPesach, we already discussed this, which is the pasuk says, etzem lo tishberu bo b'kasher velo b'pasul. So a bow is only when it's a kasher, not a pasul. And we're going to go and discuss that again. We've tangentially mentioned it a couple of times. Now the Gemara is going to investigate that more. Bishlama motir b'tahor. When you leave over on a regular korban pesach, you don't get makot. Tanya lo tutir min ad boker. But no tami min ad boker. And that which is left over, then you do have to burn it. Ba'akotub l'tein asay achar lo tasay. Torah comes to give you a positive commandment after the negative commandment, the marsha in lo keh. Teach you don't get makot. Again, for the one of the two reasons we mentioned before, it's either lav hanitak da'aseh, so the rectification, the answer to that is right there, or because it's not domeh to the lav of lo tachsom shor b'dishor. That's divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov over, lo min ha'shem uzeh. That's not the reason. Moshom davel lav she'en bo maaseh. It's a lav that doesn't have an action, it's a passive violation of a lav, and that's why you don't get makot. Fein lo kin a lav, and that's why you don't get makot. Ela, shover betamei minolan. How do you know that when you break a bone in a tamei animal, there is no malkot? The makra etzim lo tishbru bo b'kasher below b'pasul. So it's the limit that we've seen before. Bo is a mute, and the mute comes to teach you only in a kosher animal is a problem of etzim lo tishbru bo, but by a tamei animal, that's not the case. Tanrabanan v'etzim lo tishbru bo b'kasher below pasul. This is the limit that we just mentioned from a brayta. The Tanakama here believes. And when we say etzem lo tishbru bo, the bo comes to me, ma'ayit, something that's pasul, and that's kasher is fine. Rabbi Omer, b'bayit achad ye'achel, etzem lo tishbru bo. The juxtaposition of the qualifications or the halachot with regards to how you eat the korban haPesach, has been in a single house, together in one chabura, the rule is juxtaposed to etzem lo tishbru bo. Kol ha'ra'uy le'achila, any korban haPesach which is eaten, Yesh bo mishum shvirat etzim, as it didn't shvirat etzim. She'en ra'uy l'achila, that which is not eaten, ein bo mishum shvirat etzim. That does not have a din of shvirat etzim. Ma beinayu. What's the nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rabbi? The Tanakama says it's a difference between kasher and pasul. And according to Rabbi, it's a difference between whether you can eat it or you can't eat it. Truth is, the two should be correlated. If it's a kosher karban pesach, you should be eating it. If it's a pasul karban pesach, you're not going to be eating it. We want to find cases where it might be kasher and you can still not eat it. And that's the Gemara now is going to bring down from the Amoraim numerous types or attempts at the nafkamina. So, my benayo amar bimriya, Pesach haba betumah ika benayo. Pesach has brought betumah where we waive the normal rules of tumah and you bring the korban haPesach. The mandamar kasher, the one who Tanakamu says that the question here is whether it's kasher pasul. Hi, pasul. This is a karban pesach that is really pasul. The mandamar ro'ui l'achila, hanami ro'ui l'achilahu. But it is eaten. I mean, it's done bipsul tuma. It's not that the karban's pasul. You are yotze the karban of pesach, and this is the way you're supposed to do it. But the karban of pesach that's brought bituma, if it wasn't for the fact that Tumah's waived here, it would have been a Pasul Karban Pesach. So therefore, maybe there's no din of Etzum Lo Tishbru Bo for the Tanakama. On the other hand, it's Ra'oi L'Achila, because you're going to eat it. Pesach Baba Tumah is eaten. And since it's eaten, therefore, Rabbi would say that you would have a problem Etzum Lo Tishbru Bo. Yosef Amar, Kokiyai Gabna, anything like that, Tukuli Alma, Ainbo Mishvum Shvirat Etzim. Forget it. That everybody believes has a problem Shvirat Etzim. Rabbi, because it's Roi L'Achila. The Tanakama, because it's not Pasul. What do you mean it's Pasul? In the end, this is a Garban HaPesach that's brought. It's brought Bitumah, but yes, that's the way it's supposed to be brought now, and it works. So that's not called Pasul. Now here there's a little bit of a mess with the Girsa. The Bach eliminates the Rabbi L'Akuli Ka'ate. He leaves that out. And it says, V'hai Ha Pasul Hu. Right? What is a Pasul that we're speaking about when it says Kasher and Pasul? The difference between them is whether it had a time period where it was kasher and then became pasul. The madamar kasher a kasherhu. The one who says that this is a kasher a karban pesach, it was at one point kasher because it went through, everything's good, and then it got ruined afterwards. So there's a point in time where it was a kasher karban a pesach, and you won't have to bring a pesach sheni. So this is a qualified pesach, and you won't bring a pesach on pesach sheni. Rabbi says, if I look at it right now, you can't eat it because something got ruined. So since something got ruined, you can't eat it, then Rabbi would say there's no problem of etzim lo tishbru bo. So the distinction, according to Rabbi Yosef, is whether it had a shata kosher or it didn't have a shata kosher. If it didn't have a shata kosher, then it's a pasul karban pesach, and it's also not roi l'achila. So the din will be the same. But when it had a shata kosher, it was kosher for a period of time, and then it became problematic. In that case, your yotze with the Karban HaPesach was a kosher Karban HaPesach when you brought it. Right now it's problematic, but when you brought it, it was a fine, good kosher HaPesach. But as far as Achila, you can't eat this Karban HaPesach because it's ruined now. Whatever happened became Tameh. Whatever happened to the Karban HaPesach, now it will not allow you to eat it. And that'll be the nafkamina between them. So Bayamar, again, the Bach changed the gears a little bit. Kol Kihai Gavna, in that type of instance, everybody agrees there that there's no Shvirat Etzem. My time, Hashta Miyaha Pasuhu. Because right now it's a Pasul. Yeah, you're right. At one point it was Kasher. But now it's Pasul. So there should be no difference between the Tanakamo and Rabbi. Ella Shvirat Etzem mi Baudyom mi Kabinayo. The difference between them is if you break the bone before nightfall. Regards to the Karban HaPesach, you're breathing it on the afternoon of the 14th. But you don't eat it till the night of the 15th. So there is a window of time between the time you bring the Karban HaPesach and the permissibility to eat it, or the permission to eat it, which begins at nightfall. So that gap in time, if you break a bone then, what's the din? So Abaye says that's the nafkamina between them. The madam akasher akasheru. Talking about a kasher Karban HaPesach. There's no problem with this Karban HaPesach. You're going to eat it tonight. The madam ra'u l'achila ashtalav barachilu. The one who says that's ra'u l'achila rabbi. Right now, it's not ra'ui l'achila. Because it won't be eaten until nightfall. Meitave, is that really true? Rabbi Omer, nimnim ala moach shibarosh. You're allowed to, as part of the Korban HaPesach, count the brain, which is an edible item, and you're allowed to count that towards the Korban HaPesach. Vein nimnim ala moach shibakolit. But you're not allowed to be nimne over the marrow that is found in the thigh bone. So here you have a skull, which is a bone, and the brain that's inside of it. And we're saying that can be counted towards the basar, quote-unquote, of the Korban HaPesach. Whereas the marrow that is found inside of the thigh bone, that cannot be counted towards the basar of the Korban HaPesach. So based on that, we would suggest over here, with regards to Rabbi's position, Amoach Shabarosh, my time, why are you allowed to use the brain or that soft parts of the head? Because you can scrape it out, you can take it out. As Rashi says, you can go in through the nose, take it out without breaking the bone, without breaking the skull. If you think that breaking a bone at daytime is okay, then why don't you just break open the thigh bone prior to nightfall? You'll bring the Karban HaPesach. Before nightfall, you'll break the thigh bone, so now you have access to the marrow. And then at nightfall, you'll eat the marrow. So if that was really the case, that Miba'ojoma was mutar to break it, then Rabbi should allow you to get the marrow out of the thigh bone, because you'll break it Miba'ojoma, and then you'll eat it later on. The fact that we don't say that shows you that that's not an option to break it open. V'nafkua l'machtideh, and you'll break it in bodyom, take out the marrow. V'nimnu alei, and then that'll be a part of the Korban Pesach that you should be allowed to count as basar for putting people as joint members of this Korban Pesach. Amelech Abaye ulitameich. According to your reasoning, michashecha nami naiti gumrato. Once nightfall comes, bring a coal, v'nichut alei, and place it on the bone, v'nikla, and that will singe it, burn it, v'nafka l'machtideh, and then take out the marrow. So, v'nimnele, and that will be counted towards the basar that people can join the Korban Pesach with. Daha tanyo, because we have a brayta tosefta, v'asareif v'atzamot, v'amechatech b'gidim, ein bo mishum shviat etzim. If you burn the bones, or you cut the sinews, that's not a problem of shvirat etzim. So you're allowed to burn the bone, or you could burn the bone without being in violation of etzim lotish v'rubo. So Bai says to them, listen, you think your question on me is strong. The question exists anyway, which is, you could even after nightfall get access to the marrow. How do you get access to the marrow? You take a hot coal, you put on the bone, and it causes the bone to burn away in that area, and then you can get access to the marrow, and that's not called Shavirat Etzem. So, if that's the case, and we don't permit it there, then by me as well, it shouldn't be a problem. So, Elamayit Chalamemar, what are you going to suggest? Abaye Amar, Mishum Paka. What's the reason that we don't allow you to do this? So Bai says it's because we're afraid that the bone will burst. When you put the heat on it, when you put the coal on it, yes, it'll singe or burn that area, but the heat could cause it to crack or break in another area. And that'd be a problem of Shvirat Etzem. Rav Amar Mishum Hefsek Kodoshim. We don't let you do it because you're going to lose some of the Kodesh here. When you burn through it, you're going to hit the marrow. Some of the stuff that's in there is going to get burnt and not be edible anymore. So you're actually ruining Kodoshim, so we won't let you do it. Because you're doing it physically and actively. You're putting a coal on it. Because maybe the fire or the coal will consume a part of the marrow. So Abai says, so during the Tatum, just like you think that's the reason we don't use a coal to access the bone, either because maybe it'll break in another location or because it will ruin the Kodoshim. So I'll say the same thing here. By my case, where you're asking me the question about the Moach Shubakulit, Mibojom, I'll say the same thing. So why won't you do it, Mibojom Nami? Gzeira Mibojom, Atu Mechashecha. Mibojom, we don't let you break the bones, because if we let you break the bones then, you'll end up breaking the bones at night as well. So there's a Gzeira, just like there's a Gzeira at nightfall not to do certain things, even though it's not called breaking bones. So do it in the daytime piece, before we get to nightfall. Yes, Midoraita, you can break the bones, but the Chachamim said no breaking of bones. Just like they say that at nightfall, when you do it in a way that is permissible, they still say stay away, we don't want to take any risk. So over here, they don't want to risk people breaking during the day because they might come to break it at night. Now, Rav Papa Amar, ki kol ki gaya gavna kuli amai yesh bo mishviyot etzim. Sorry, Abaye, but you said that differentiation that you made with regards to shviyot etzim mi bojom, I think everybody agrees there that there's a problem with shviyot etzim, my taima. You're right, you can't eat it right now, but it is still edible and will be edible at nighttime. Because that's when the Korban's eaten. And since it is ra'ui la'achila, that's enough to say that you would have a problem of etzem lo tishrubo. Ela be'ever shi'atza miktzato kamiliflege. They're arguing about a limb, a portion of a limb that left Yerushalayim. So we know that yotze is problematic, it's pusel the Korban. So anything that leaves Yerushalayim would be pasul. So you have a mix of an avery of a part of a limb that stuck out of the walls of Yerushalayim. That, he says, is the nafkamina between them. Manda amar kasher, the one who says kasher, ha kasheru. It's a kosher korban pesach, and the bone that stays on the inside is still kasher. Manda amar roi l'achila, hay la bar achilu. That's no longer a bar achila. Why? Kedetanya, Rabbi Shmo b'nosh, Rabbi Yochanan b'roko omer, ever shi yatza miksato, if you have a limb of a portion which has gone outside the walls of Yerushalayim, vishavro, and then you break it, ein bo mishum shviyat etzem, does not have a din of Shvirat Etzim. So here you have a position that says that Shvirat Etzim doesn't apply to an Eivir Shiatza Miksato. We're going to see in tomorrow's daf that Eivir Shiatza Miksato, what you actually have to do is, you have to cut off the Basar from it. The way you do that without breaking, the best way or the easiest way to deal with it, it wasn't Pesach, was to be cut straight down the area that's outside versus inside. You crack the bone, cut it in half, the stuff that's on the outside is Pasul, the stuff on the inside is Kasher. So you do it just by slicing in half. By Korban Pesach, you can't do that because you can't cut through the bone, you can't break the bone. So what you end up doing is koleif. You have to peel away the basar, you cut down through the basar, and then you slice along the top of the bone, go around to the joint where the bone is, sever the bone joint over there, and then come out underneath it. So you'll basically leave the basar that is pasu on the outside by carving underneath it on the bone, and then you'll pull in the bone that went out plus the meat that's, or the flesh that's still on the inside, that will come in. So you'll be able to separate it without breaking the bone. You have to do it by kolef, peeling off the basar, meaning cutting to the surface of the bone, and then running the knife along the surface of the bone to detach the basar from there. That way you don't have to break the bone. So bayis, a rapapa suggests that's the nafkamina between them, because you're going to now have to crack this bone, or if you did crack this bone, is it a bone from a kasher, or is it a bone from ra'ui la'achila? The answer with regards to ra'ui la'achila is no, it's not ra'ui la'achila. On the other hand, in terms of a kasher, yeah, it's totally kasher. The Karban Pesach is kasher, it's fine. Now Tosafot asks over here, he says, Tema, amai choshiv le kasher mitrei mi bar achila. He says, I don't understand why they consider this bone to be more kasher than it is ra'ui la'achila. I mean, that there's a split in the middle. One side is good, one side is no good. That applies to both, whether it's kasher or not kasher, and applies to whether it's ra'ui la'achila or not ra'ui la'achila. Why are we separating between them? It's possible, as I could suggest, maybe that in tomorrow's daf, we're going to see that the way, again, that I explained now, that you peel off the basar, that you cut around the bone, and then you don't have a kazayit worth of achila on the bone. And we're going to see in a second that if you don't have basar that's ra'ui la'achila on the bone, then there's no din of shvirat etzem. So you have to say here that it's a case where now with the basar removed from it, there's not a kazayit there, and that there's no moach, there's no marrow inside of it. So because of that, you could break the bone, and it would still be kasher or be fine. Whereas with regards to bar achila, it's not considered to be a bar achila. So since there's no longer kazayit or ra'ui l'achila on the bone, so in terms of ra'ui l'achila, there's no ra'ui l'achila, there's not kazayit left on it. In terms of the bone itself, then the bone is still kasher on half point and pasul on the other half point. And therefore, when you cut or break it along that line, that's considered to be shvirat etzem. So that was Rav Papa's suggestion. Rav Sheshet b'Rei d'Ravidi Amar Kol Ki'ai Gavna D'Kuli Amah Ein Bo Mishvin Shvirat Etzem. Everybody agrees there when it goes that part way, no shvirat etzem. Dai Aver Ha Pasul. That Aver is a pasul. Ella shvirat etzem b'no ikka b'nayo. The difference between them is when you take a raw piece of meat from the Karban Pesach and break the bone. Madamar kasher kasheru. The one who says it's kasher, this is kasher. Madamar ro'i l'achila, ashtein ro'i l'achila. It's not ro'i l'achila now. You need to roast it before it'll be permissible to eat it. You can't eat it, nah. So then, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Kol Ki'ai Gavna Yishbo Mishvirat Etzem. Everybody would say that Shvirat Etzem. My daima da chazi l'achila. To metavi leiv achila. It is ro'i l'achila. You just gotta roast it. You roast it, it's ro'i l'achila. Just happens to be right now, it's not ro'i l'achila. So rather, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, El Shvirat Halyo. Breaking the tail, or the, I guess it's the bone, the tail bone would be the difference between them. Mandam HaKasher HaKasheru. That the Korban Pesach is a kasher Korban Pesach. The mandam ro'i l'achila, ain't a ro'i l'achila. The alya l'gvah salka. That one who says that it's ro'i l'achila, it's not ro'i l'achila because that goes to shamayim. That's put on the mizbeach. Now that's not true with all Korban Pesach. It actually makes a difference between whether you bring a gedi, you bring a goat, or you bring a keves. Because the alya, the tail part of the sheep, are put on the mizbeach with the fats. Which is not true by a shor or an aes. If you remember here, you can see the Mesorah Shas references back to Gimel Amud Bet. Over there, that's the story where there was this non-Jew who was participating in the Korban HaPesach. And he was from a place called Nitzivim. And there lived a Talmud Chacham whose name was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira tell him, oh, did you ask them for the tail part? The good part, the really good meat? They've been cheating you all this time? And he goes up to Yerushalayim and asks for it, and they figure out something's wrong here. Why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira tell him to ask him for the tail part? They looked into it, found he was not Jewish, and they punished him, and they sent back to him, Da'at ben Nitzivin, you live in Nitzim, umetzuratcha pusav Yerushalayim, and your trap is placed in Yerushalayim, because of this point about the tail part of the animal. He told him, ask for the tail part. And the tail part goes on the Mizbech. So why would we be asking for the tail part? And it was Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira saying it. They know Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira knows that din. There Tosafot asks, what do you mean? Well, how did he know he was going to get a sev? You got a gedid. In Ochanami, he would be able to eat the tail part. The answer is that he said the majority of Karbanei Pesach came from keves, came from sheep and not from goats. That's why the assumption would have been that he was bringing a sheep or they were bringing a sheep when he joined in that Karbanei Pesach. So he says, that's the difference between them. Then Zinim is this, yeah, it's not ro'i l'achila because it ends up on the Mizbeach, but it is kasher, it's part of the Korban HaPesach, and it's totally fine. So according to the one who says kasher, problem of shviyat etzem, according to the one who says rahil achila, that's Rabbi, it's not a problem of shviyat etzem. Ravashi amar, kolki agavna, anything in that situation, vadayin bo mishum shviyat etzem. Everybody agrees that does not have a din of shviyat etzem. Ta vadayin rahil achila klau. That's not rahil achila at all. Forget it, kosher, not kosher, that's just not part of the Pesach that's going to be eaten. It's part of the Pesach that's going on the Mizbeach. It has no relevance to etzem motish brubo. Ella Aver Shainalav Kzai Basar Ika Benayu. The dinam is if you have a lamb without a Kzayat Basar on it. The Mandam are Kasher, a Kashero. It's a Kasher. Mandam Ra'oi L'Achila, Bein and Shi'ur L'Achila V'Leka. You need the amount that is Ra'oi L'Achila, otherwise it's not considered to be Achila. That's what I was suggesting before. Maybe that was the difference in terms of the din with Aver Shi'atza Mixato. If it doesn't have a Kzayat Basar on it, there really is a difference of whether it's Ra'oi L'Achila versus whether it's Kasher. Ravina Amar, Koki Aigavna Leipa Mishum Shvirat Etzem. Nah, all of that. If you don't have a Kazai Pasar on there, that is no din of Shvirat Etzem. Not according to the Rabbi, not according to the Tanakama. Tvina and Shir Achila. Everybody agrees you need to have a Shir Achila here. There's a din of is if you have a bone, a part of the bone has a Kazai Pasar on it, but the part that you break does not have a Kazai Pasar on it. Is that enough? The fact that it has a Kazayat Basar on the Etzim, is that enough to make it into a Ra'oi L'Achila? Or does it have to be a case that it's in the location where you break it, there's a Kazayat Basar? The Mandam are Kasher, a Kasheru. It's a Kasher, and it has a Shir Achila, and it's totally fine. The Mandam are Ra'oi L'Achila, Binan Shir Achila, B'makom Shvira. You have to have a Shir Achila Kazayat in the location where you break it. But I like it, that's not the case, because the Shir Achila is somewhere else on that bone, and you're breaking it in another location. Tanya Ke'arba'a Minayu. We have a braita that supports four of these Amoraim's positions, which is the Tanya. Rabbi Amar, Bevayit Echad Yachel. Rabbi says, Bevayit Echad, you eat in one house. Etzem lo tish brubo, the juxtaposition teaches you. Ala kasher hu chayav, he's chayav on a kasher, v'enu chayav ala psul. But he's not chayav on a korban pesach, that is psul. Haita la shat akosher, v'nifsal b'shat achila. If at one point was kasher, and now it became psul, Ein bo mishvirim shvirat etzem. We don't have a din of shvirat etzem. That's like Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef suggested the nafkamina between the Tanakam and Rabbi was shata kosher. And you see that here. Rabbi in the Brita is saying that if you have a shata kosher, there is no din of shvirat etzem. Because at this point in time, it's not ra'oi l'achila. Because according to the Tanakam, who says it was kasher, it was at one point kasher, and it was a kosher kavanah pesach, so therefore he says there is a din of shvirat etzem. That's one amora. Second one, yesh bo shir achila. Yesh bo mishvir mishvirat etzem. If it has a shir achila, it has a din of shvirat etzem. Ein bo shir achila, doesn't have a shir achila, ein bo mishvir mishvirat etzem. So that's the second amora, which is like Ravina or like Ravashi. It's one of those two. And both of those amorayim played with shir achila. Ravashi talked about just pure shir achila, whereas Ravina talked about shir achila b'makom zeh, not in makom zeh. But both of those could be captured by this braita. Haro'oi l'mezbeach ein bo mishum shvirat etzem. Here's another one. Something that goes on in his back doesn't have a din of shvirat etzem. That's like the aliyah, the bone of the aliyah. That doesn't have a din of shvirat etzem. So that's similar to the position that we saw, like Nachman by Yitzchak, who said that was an afkamina between them. B'shat achila yesh bo mishum shvirat etzem. Shalom b'shat achila yesh bo mishum shvirat etzem. Only when it's ra'oi to eat, the time period in which it's ra'oi to eat the carbon pesach, is there a din of shvirat etzem. Before that time, no din of shvirat etzem. And that would be the accord with a bias suggestion that the nafkamina between them has to do with me be'od yom. So here we have a braita with Rabbi's name on it, and Rabbi is saying about all these items that they don't have a din of shvirat etzem. And these were the nafkamina brought by, down by the Amoraim before. Again, Rav Yosef, who differentiates it between shata kosher and not. We have Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, who talks about that ro'oi l'mizbeach is not considered to be ro'oi l'achila. And shalom b'shat achila mi ba'od yom is like what we saw in Abaye. And shir achila is what we saw even in Ravina or Ravashi. So that's what the Gemara says. There are four Amoraim that are supported by this braita. Itmar. Eiver she'en alav gzayit basar b'makom zeh, v'yesh alav gzayit basar b'makom acher. If you have an eiver that has a gzayit basar in one location and not in the other location, and you break in the other location, what's the din? Rabbi Yochan Amar, yesh bo mishum shvirat etzem. There is a din of shvirat etzem. Doesn't have a din of shvirat etzem. Tosafot over here suggests that this is aliba de Rabbi kamiflege. This is within the position of Rabbi they're arguing. According to the Tanakama, there's nothing to talk about here. It has a din of shvirat etzem. It's just in the position of Rabbi where he says that Shir Achila applies, what does that mean that Shir Achila applies? Does it simply mean that there has to be a Shir Achila on the bone? Or does it mean there has to be a Shir Achila, but Makom Shever, where you break it? And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, has to have a Shir Achila by the Makom that you break it. And since it's in another location over here, Aimbo Mishum, I'm sorry, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, since it has a Shir Achila on the bone, Yeshbo Mishum Shvirat Etzem, that's all you need. Shimon Lakish says that, since it's in another location, you break it over here, Aimbo Mishum Shvirat Etzem, because you're not breaking in a location when there's Shir Achila. So Eitavei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan asks Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Ve'etzem lo tishbru bo. Echad etzem sheesh alav kazayit basar. It doesn't matter if the bone has a kazayit basar on it. Echad etzem sheen alav kazayit basar. Or whether it does not have basar in it. So, strange statement. It sounds here that there's shvirat etzem, whether it has shir achila or not. How could that be? So he says, my ein alav kazayit basar. He goes, Rabbi Yochanan says, you know how I'm going to explain what it means that it doesn't have kazayit basar in it? Ilayim adayin alav kazayit basar kalav. He says it has no flesh on it whatsoever. Amai yesh bo mishvud shvirat etzem. Then why is there a din of shvirat etzem? A lav hachikama, this is what's meant by it. Echad etzem sheish alav kazayit basar b'makom zeh. Ve'echad shein alav kazayit basar b'makom zeh. Ve'esh alav kazayit basar b'makom acher. It's a statement about one bone has the kazayit basar where you're going to break it. The other bone doesn't have a lav kazayit basar here, but has kazayit basar in another location on the bone. And you see from the bright that has a din of shvirat etzem. That supports my position, Rabbi Yochanan says. So what is the Rabbi Yish Lakish? Amalei, Rish Lakish says, well, that's not the case. Hachikamar, I'll explain to you how to read the Braita. Echad etzem sheyesh alav kezayit basar mi bachutz. So it doesn't matter if the bone has the kezayit basar on the outside, or whether the etzem sheyesh alav kezayit basar mi bachutz doesn't have meat and flesh on the outside, sheyesh alav kezayit basar mi b'fnim, makom shvira, and it has marrow, a kezayit basar on the inside, and that's why it's shvira. So that's why Reish Lakish says, I can support my position and still say that it's only where there is a kezayit that there's a problem of shever in that exact location. And the bright that you brought is not a problem, because I'll explain it similar to what you did, which is, I'll say that the first statement says, a bone that has flesh on it and you break it there, that's problematic. A bone that doesn't have flesh there and you break it in another location, you only be chayav if there's marrow on the inside, if there's kezayit of edible item on the inside, otherwise you would not be chayav. Vatanya, don't we have a bright tub? Etzim lo tishbru bo. Can't break a bone in it. Echad etzim sheyesh bo moach. Vechad etzim sheein bo moach. Whether the bone has marrow in it or it does not have marrow in it. Umani mikayim. And now, how am I going to explain this? Now this Vatanya is a nichuta. This is a support to Reish Lakish's understanding here that a kazayit of moach on the inside will make it problematic in terms of breaking the etzim. So Gemara says, okay, right now I'm suggesting that all bones have a problem of shvirat etzem. That's bones with marrow, bones without marrow, they all have a problem in terms of shvirat etzem. So then, if that's the case, what am I going to do with the pasuk? That you have to eat the meat on this night. Would you suggest that's the flesh outside the bone? Or maybe it even includes the basar, the marrow that is inside the bone. Umani mekayim be'etzem lo tishbru bo. What am I going to do with the pasuk? Etzem lo tishbru bo. You know how to break a bone? Be'etzem she'im bo moach. That would be in a case where it doesn't have marrow in it. Aval be'etzem she'esh bo moach shover ve'ochel. Then you do break it open and eat it. So the bright is going through iterations or possibilities of how to explain etzem lo tishbru bo and v'achlu et ha'basar b'layla zeh. It's an obligation to eat the flesh, to eat the meat of the korban of Pesach. It's also an obligation not to break the bone. So how can I reconcile those two? I'll say it like this. I'll say a bone without marrow, that you're not allowed to break. That's etzem lo tishbru bo. A bone with marrow, you can break. Why can you break it? Because it gives you accessibility to the access to the marrow. And you need to break it, and that'll be allowed. And the Braita says, al titama. Don't be surprised about that. We let you break it when it has the marrow on the inside to get the marrow. Shrevo asay v'yidchei dot asay. You have an assay to eat the korban pesach, to eat the basar, or the marrow here. And you have a lot assay of shvirat etzem. Assay, dochelot assay, so it shouldn't be a problem here to break the bone to get access to the marrow. Tosafot over here asks an interesting question. He says, why is this assay dochelot assay? Over here, when you do the assay, when you do the lot assay, you don't accomplish the assay. The only time we say that assay is dochelot assay is when, while you're doing the lot assay, you accomplish the assay. But that's not the case over here. You do the lot assay first, which is breaking the bone, and then you do the assay of eating the korban after that. So then the two are not connected. So how could you violate the Isra of lo etzem lo tishbru bo in order to eat it after the fact? You're not eating it simultaneously. So there are ways to get around that. One possibility is to suggest that he accesses it. He bites into the bone, he cracks the bone, and eats it at the same time. That's one possibility. Or, I think the Sfat Emet, Rabir suggests that when do we say, Dochalot Ase has to be simultaneous, that's only when the items are separate. It's not necessary to do the Lot Ase to get accessibility to the Ase. Over here, this is an unusual case. Without breaking the bone, you can't get access to the marrow. There's just no way to do it. Over there, we don't have a demand for them to be simultaneous because it's necessary to break the bone in order to do the assay. Without breaking the bone, there's no way to accomplish this assay. So because of that, the breaking of the bone is considered to be simultaneous with the eating because it gives you the access to what you want to eat. Now, Tosfos does ask also, why don't you just put a coal on it and open it up and then you don't have to break the bone? Here he says that over there we won't allow you to do that. That's too dangerous to put the coal in it because you may break it or pop it. And so we don't want that to happen. Or you have Hefsek Kodashim, like we saw before. And if you have Hefsek Kodashim, then it would be Asur to do it. So since it's Asur to do it, you can't do that. It's not an option for you. Now what does the Gemara say? Shuomer, Etzem Loti Yishbrubo. When it says later on by Pesach Sheni, that you're not allowed to break a bone in a Pesach Sheni, She'ein Tamalomer. Why does he have to tell us that? Sharei Gvar Ne'amar, the Pasuk is a all-encompassing Pasuk. It says, Kuchol Chukata Pasach Yesu'oto, that all the rules of the Pesach Rishon apply to Pesach Sheni. So just like Pesach Rishon, you can't break the bones. Pesach Sheni, you can't break the bones. So why did it explicitly say again, don't break the bones? Savi Omer, Echad Etzim She'esh Bo'moach, Ve'echad Etzim She'ein Bo'moach. Comes to teach you that there's a restriction against breaking the bones, whether it has marrow in it, whether it doesn't have marrow in it. When it doesn't have marrow in it, there's a restriction because there's no reason to give you permission to break the bone. When it does have marrow in it, you might have thought that you should have permission to break the bone to get access to the marrow. The answer is no. Etzem lo tishbru lo. Doesn't matter if you have marrow in there. It doesn't matter if you don't have a marrow in there. You cannot break the bone. So again, this supports Reish Lakish's position. Reish Lakish said before that if you have a kezayit moach on the inside, there's a problem with shvirat etzem. And that's what we're saying here in the Brayta. The Brayta says here that moach causes you a problem of shvirat etzem. Meitavei. Eight aver sheyatzah miksatot, this is the upcoming Mishnah, an aver that apportionment went out. Chotecha makom shemegia le'etzem. You cut in the location that's the halfway point until you reach the bone. Koleif ad shemegia le'perek. And then you peel it off, you slice along the bone till you reach the perek, till you reach the joint. V'chotecha, and then you cut over there, because that's not breaking the bone, that's severing the cartilage that's holding them together. V'amart aver she'en alav kazay basar v'makom zeh v'yesh b'makom acher, that if it doesn't have a kazay basar here, but it does have another location, aim bo mishver shed etzem, there's no problem with breaking the bone. Lama li de kolef, acher megia la perach v'chotech. Why do you have to slice away the basar and then go to the joint to sever it? Niklof be purta, clear away a portion of the basar in one location on the etzem, v'nitvare, and then break it right there. I mean, there's an easy way for Reish Lakish, in order to get rid of this problem that you have a portion of the aver was on the inside, a portion on the outside. Well, here's the point where it went out. So on that point, cut away the basar that's there. You no longer have a kazayit basar there. Break the bone and it'll be done. So you don't have to worry about it. So Bayamar, we don't let you do this. Mishom Paka. We're worried about it breaking in other locations, meaning that when you smash it over there to sever it, then you'll also break other parts of the bone, which are not permissible, because there'll be basar in those areas. Or Ravin Amar Bikulit. We're talking about the thigh bone. The thigh bone, which has a lot of marrow in it. And since there's a lot of marrow in it, there's kazayit basar all along the bone. Even if there's no flesh on the outside, internally the marrow makes it there's a kazayit of marrow all along the bone. So even if you took off the basar on the outside, you couldn't sever or break the bone there, because it wouldn't help you, because you still have the basar on the inside, you have the marrow on the inside. And so that's why that's not a good solution, and the Mishnah gave the solution of severing or cutting away the basar and then severing it at the joint and not breaking the bone, despite the fact that Reish Lakish is of the opinion that if there was no basar there, you could break the bone. So taking away the basar should have solved the problem. The answer is no, either because Shum Paka, we're afraid that when you break the bone there, it's going to affect other parts of the bone where there is basar, or because there's so much marrow inside of this bone that there's a kazayit along the bone, and you break it anywhere, you're going to have a problem of kazayit basar, of moach in that location. Okay, we'll stop over here.